Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
It is the midway point of your work week. We will officially welcome you to that, as we normally do. Plenty to get into today. Hour number one. Got yourself covered. A little foosball, basketball, and fitness as well. Chuck Biggio, 12:45. We'll give you your latest on how to get fit and healthy. 12:30, Jake Madison locked on Pelicans, practice number two today. What did he see in practice number one? 12:15, Jacques Doucet, WAFB in Baton Rouge. We'll chat with him about the Tigers. And some interesting topics throughout the day we'll throw up as well in terms of California passing that law. 2023 will have to wait, but yeah, it's going to allow college players to benefit from their likeness. Joe Burrow of LSU had something to say about it. We'll play what he had to say about it. Also, did you catch this week so much news? We hadn't got to it yet, but a player in the NFL has been suspended for the season for a helmet-to-helmet hit that the league deemed dirty and dangerous, and he's done for the year. So we'll address all of that and more after Joey welcomes us officially to the midway point of our work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more about what, that Camel Wednesday hump day, is that what it is?
It is. Shot team, the Digital Underground, head coach Sean of the Peyton, letting you know you made it to the halfway point of your work week just one day from now, and then we'll have a little NFL football, get back at it. A nice matchup tomorrow night. We have Lakers. Jesus, peace. Words of wisdom.
Peace and happiness forever.
Tells you where my head is. I saw L.A. and Seattle. I said Lakers. It's the Rams at the Seahawks in an NFC West battle. I said Lakers because this morning, oh my goodness. So the We Bow Down campaign is off and running. Off and running, right? And did you notice, did you see that there's a second spot? We played the first one in which it introduces the slogan, We Bow Down. Well, this morning, 8:30, at Pelicans NBA, New Orleans, .. space, land without a king, hashtag won't bow down.
It's been 200 years since New Orleans had a king.
The Pelicans will have the ball 5 minutes to go here.
Which is good, because people here don't like being told what to do.
10 on the shot clock.
We do our own thing. We fight our own fights and are ruled by ourselves. So don't come here expecting us to bow down. Because you won't get the royal treatment.
Yikes. Joining the intern, as always, joining us here on the Sports Hangover. To my right, my friend, the second we got the tease that this was going to be the slogan, you called it. There is no denying when there's a crown emoji next to the words land without a king. That is in reference to a certain player. Known to and referred to by himself as
LeBoo,
the king. There's no denying this is what it is now. Embrace the pettiness. I mean, I'm loving it, right? I mean, it's been 200 plus years since New Orleans had a king. We don't need one. Yikes. Loving it. I love it. And judging by the comments and responses, a lot of you people like it as well. Hey, this morning, head coach Sean Payton.
You know, we just finished meeting as a team going through some of the penalties.
that part of it's going to have to change for us offensively.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Definitely one of the things that will be a storyline today, Senor Intern. You know how it works. Every Wednesday we like to tweet out there. Give us your top storylines that you think the Saints will have going into this week's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first NFC South battle of the season. Remember, five of six, Drew Brees possibly could be quarterback. The next game against an NFC South opponent is your Atlanta Falcons, week 10. Drew Brees likely projected should be back by then. It's after the bye week. That's the next NFC South game. So you got the Bucs on Sunday. We're going to hear from Sean Payton here this segment, what he had to say this morning about their offense, their defense. Again, Shaquille Barrett is just, right now to me, the definition, the very definition of an impact player. Impact player. Seems like every tackle is a tackle that pops up the football in the quarterback's hand like Jared Goff and the ball goes in the air and it's an interception, pick six, stripping the ball away. Hitting someone, it causes a fumble, it's a fumble six. It's unbelievable. The first four games of the season, Shaquille Barrett, it's hands down, unequivocally, the defensive player of the year. I mean, at least to me, at least in the games that I've seen in the highlights, he's either given Buccaneers a chance to win or helped them win by himself over on that left defensive end. He'll be facing Ryan Ramczyk this weekend. So, Jordan, that's definitely one of my storylines as you tweet out there. What are your top storylines? Mine is Saints, Ryan Ramczyk versus Senor Barrett over there in Tampa Bay, who's absolutely playing ridiculous football right now. So we'll hear what Coach had to say about overall the Bucs. But the line of questioning began with, I think, another storyline going into this game. Play of the offensive line. What's the issues here? Jordan, Sunday during the game, you were tweeting at me, the Saints should start how?
First and 20.
There it is. First and 20. Just go ahead and start first and 20. Why would you say that, Jordan?
Because it was almost every other drive that we were getting penalized, and it was every other play. Just about.
Every single one. Yeah. It kind of seemed that way, right? Which is why it was really ridiculous to me. You know, really ridiculous to me when good old Jason Garrett, head coach of your Dallas Cowboys, had this to say.
Yeah, there were 4 seconds before the play, and it was one of the fastest plays in NFL history.
Oh, poor coach. Poor coach. Cannot believe the clock didn't tick fast enough, huh?
Let me look
those
up
tricky
let
officials.
Let me look up the amount of penalties.
The disparity.
Yeah,
yeah. I just wonder if Jason Garrett thought they were being unfair when literally the Saints couldn't snap the football without getting a flag thrown. So this morning, look, Sean Payton was asked, it was first question, that the league this year in the offseason came out and in the preseason training camp said, look, they're going to put an emphasis on holding. And I have theorized that I think part of the reason is because it's become flag football, right? Yes, we love offense. It helps the ratings. But right now, I don't know how you play defense. You cannot hit the quarterback, essentially. Anything and everything seen going up into the season was, you know, a roughing the passer call, which, by the way, Jason Garrett and everybody else complained as well in that final play in the Hail Mary. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he hit Dak Prescott after he threw the football in the chest and in the side. Nowhere near the head, nowhere near the ground or the legs. It was a legal hit. The point is, you almost feel that every single time somebody hits a quarterback, it's a penalty. So you've had that. It's hard to grab players. And, I mean, again, it's one of those things that I think it should be a five-yard penalty. Even if it's a 10 or whatever, it should be a yardage penalty. But defensive holding being an automatic first down is a killer. Happened to the Saints, right? Third and long, defensive holding. Was it Eli Apple? It was a third down, if I remember correctly. Eli Apple got called for holding, and it was just technique. He had his arm at an L. He had his hand on it. Legal contact for the first 5 yards, which is legal. And then he released, but they threw a flag and called it defensive holding. the problem with that is it's a automatic first down. Anyway, I think this is the league's way to sort of, I wouldn't say tip the scales back in favor of the defense, but to help the defense a bit, because we've heard this before, right? Every offensive player that's played in the past, even John Forkey, when he comes on the show, goes, you could call holding on every single play. Well, they're calling an awful lot of holding. A lot of holding. So Sean Payton was asked this morning in his conference call just after 9. You think that part of this problem that he's having with his line is that the refs are calling a tighter game?
Well, I don't know coming into the year that any of us expected these numbers or expected a wholesale change, quite honestly. We spent a lot of time in the offseason discussing other topics, but I think the challenge each week is understanding how the crew's calling it. And that's the biggest thing as a league we need to improve on is the consistency from crew to crew. That being said, we need to reduce and understand how they're being called currently. And, you know, that we just finished meeting as a team going through some of the penalties. That part of it's going to have to change for us offensively.
So you hear coach say, look, it is what it is right now. If they are calling that the way, you have to adjust to it. Now, Catherine Terrell of The Athletic followed up by saying, is the problem a chemistry issue? And I know where she's coming from with this. Is it the fact that it's Teddy? Different cadence? You know, does he call it later? Does he call for the ball later? Does he say hike instead of HUD? I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like some quarterbacks say set, go, whatever. I don't know. I don't know if that's what she specifically meant in terms of chemistry issue, but it's different, right? So he's asking if that's the situation. Is it a chemistry issue why you're seeing these penalties right now?
Not a chemistry issue. It's not a chemistry issue. The chemistry would be offsides, false starts, holding, you know, those things that we're seeing, that's a technique issue.
So it's not just like a timing thing?
Well, a timing thing would be a false start.
So to his point is these penalties are holding. So it's what's being called holding and whether or not the Saints offensive line is actually having a technique or not. Jordan.
So for this year, there have been 38 penalties combined called on the Saints for 285 yards. This past week against the Cowboys, the Saints had 9 penalties for 80 yards. So that's a whole length of a football. That's just about the whole length of a football field.
Yeah, and the timing has killed you.
To Dallas's 6 for 64 yards.
I'm sorry?
6 for
64. No, you mean 16, right? Or 26 penalties. Because the way Jason Garrett reacted.
There was a flag every play.
Every play against those Dallas Cowboys.
Crime has been committed.
Absolutely.
Force.
An investigation. Start the committee. Peyton on the O-line.
We're in the NFL here. You know, in other words, we need to be able to get off on the snap count and execute without putting ourselves back in 3 out of our 12 drives a game. I mean, it's been crazy. It's been ridiculous, honestly.
I couldn't agree with it more. Right? All of us. I mean, you heard it. 3 to 4 drives a game out of what? 10 to 12 to 13, whatever you have. Jordan, how many offensive drives did the Saints have?
They had 9.
Okay. No, that's the Cowboys, right?
No, they both had 9?
They both have 9. Okay, well, he said, I don't know if he's averaging 3 or 12, but let's play it again. He said 3. If 3 or 4 out of those 9 start with you going back, yeah, I see 9 there. Listen to what he said again.
We're in the NFL here. You know, in other words, we need to be able to get off on the snap count and execute without putting ourselves back in 3 out of our 12 drives a game. I mean, it's been crazy. It's been ridiculous, honestly.
It's probably an average what he's saying.
Well, right here, it's 4.3 yards per play, and if you're going first and 20, then you're not getting...
Well, there you go. Good mathematics there. But to his point, you know, he's saying 3 out of 12. Maybe that's the average right now, what they're having. That's a ton. Right? Am I doing the math right? Is that one fourth of all your drives, you're... Right?
Yeah.
But it's incredible. I mean, when you think about it, if 3 out of your 9 offensive drives, you're starting 1st and 15, 1st and 20, I mean, you're making it awfully difficult. And look, I know probably before I look on TweetDeck here at ESPN Radio NOLA or take your phone calls later on in the show to get your storylines. I'm sure some of those storylines will be, you know, Teddy in the passing game or just the passing game overall or just trying to get into the end zone. You're going to have to score some touchdowns here. I get it, but Sean, you, me, Madden, awfully hard to call a game when you're starting first and 20 on drives, especially if on your side of the 50, your side of the 30, your side of the 20. That's hard. So that's my number one storyline in this game. The Buccaneers D-line and the Bucs D has been playing really well. The Saints O-line is having penalty issues. Even in Seattle, they had penalty issues in the win there. Houston, first half, they had penalty issues. Even though they protected their quarterbacks in those two wins there. Again, I throw the Rams game out because of the circumstance and situation that happened. That said, last week, the team the Saints are playing on Sunday went into L.A. and dropped 55 on that team defensively. I mean, they made Jared Goff's life miserable in that game. If you go back and look at the highlights, go click on it. Click on any scoreboard will probably have the highlights attached to it. Go see what Tampa Bay did to L.A. And that's a high-powered, high-flying, non-injured offense. They were, Jared Goff couldn't breathe. He was getting hit. So, you can come up with another storyline. To me, number one storyline going to this week, Saints O-line. Gotta play better. I mean, gotta play better. Hour number one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. Go to kinginjuryfirm.com. Go check them out online. Blogs, videos, the works. You get a chance to understand and see who they are. The About Us section. Click it. You'll see all the photos and bios of all the attorneys. Free consultation call. And of course, it's not just personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, the works. If you think you probably need some representation of some sort, it's just pick up the phone. Ring the King, or online. You can text it in a little text field there. Press submit, get a response. That easy, all for free. We'll come to Baton Rouge next. WAFB's Jacques Doucet. Hear what LSU has to say about their tackling woes. Coach O, what did he do to try to fix those tackling issues? Sports Hangover continues next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Working with Governor Edwards to solve the budget crisis, we saw how truly bipartisan he is.
He brought members of both parties together to make the hard decisions
that turned a $2 billion deficit into a surplus.
Two-thirds of the Republican-led legislature voted to fund TOPS, save our hospitals, and raise teacher pay.
And Governor Edwards was willing to work with anyone committed to that goal.
He put people over politics.
And Louisiana is in a better place because of his leadership.
I'm Donna Edwards. As a teacher, I believe the best opportunity you can give a child is a good education. That's why John Bell ended years of devastating cuts and is investing in our children's future again. He passed the first teacher pay raise in 10 years, increased funding for K-12 and higher education, and fully funded TOPS. It's a good start, but John Bell won't stop working until every child has the opportunities they need to keep moving Louisiana forward.
Paid for by the John Bell Edwards campaign.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Hello, friends. I am Jerry Truck Gisclair, a candidate for state senator. I am prepared to continue my commitment to public service after nearly three terms as a state representative. My constant efforts will always be dedicated to supporting our seafood industry, as well as the oil and gas industry, coastal restoration projects, and ensuring proper funding levels for our public education system. I am a proud United States Air Force Vietnam vet. On October 12th, please vote for number 59. Jerry Truck Gisclair for Senator. Paid for by Jerry Gisclair Campaign.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
Talker, ain't
it? Man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back. We'll talk a little more Saints here in a little bit. And, of course, what the Bucks did over there in L.A. It was impressive to me. Goff was sacked twice, 7.5 tackles for loss as well. Jacques Ducedo from WAFB joins us to talk a little Tigers. They get back into action following the bye week. At Jacques Doucet is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Jacques, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, man. Just as I was coming on with you, I got a little breaking news for you immediately that running back Leonard Fournette has left the LSU team. So,
wow.
That just that's been kind of circling, and sent it over to Michael Bonnet to ask him. And then as I was on hold, I got the confirmation. So that's not a huge impact on the team, I guess, but you hate to see that happen. Thought he was a good kid. He was sticking around, and he had the opportunity here and there to do some things, but apparently he's had enough. So he's left the team.
You know, going into Vanderbilt and even afterwards, I want to say Coach Ogeron said that he was going to start giving the freshmen more touches and carries. I think that's probably direct linked as to probably why Fournette thinks that his time's done in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, I don't think I saw him a whole lot in the Vanderbilt game. They kind of gave they kind of let Emory run the ball a lot in the second half of that game. Obviously, Tyrion Davis Price has gotten some reps. From his perspective, I'm just curious about, he's a senior. You know, he's been there this long. Mm-hmm. You know, why at the end quit? You know, put Rudy on. You know, why Rudy about to walk away there at the end, and he has a conversation with the janitor. You know, and he decides to suit up for the last game. But not to compare Leonard to Rudy, but anyway, it just seems like you're a senior. You've come this far. Why not finish the deal? But maybe there's something going on.
It's interesting because you tweeted the audio as well of Coach O tackling what basically is the issue that we're seeing over in Houston with redshirting or quitting on the season and coming back and trying again. And he kind of brought up a concept that I think a lot of coaches have brought up too. Just, well, what about the whole team concept and everything? So I don't think it's any surprise as to probably, you know, why or how he feels about this.
Yeah, the question I posed on the SEC teleconference this morning was, it just seems like that the concept of team in college football is a bit under attack. Sometimes, you know, we've got people sitting out bowl games, or we've got outsiders telling kids they should sit out not only bowl games but sit out seasons. We've got the quarterback at Houston who basically quits on a team four games into the year, and now you know, you've got people that you know, pushing the players should be paid, and the endorsement likeness thing that got passed in California. And I realized that the two sides of the argument, but, you know, just yesterday I was confirmed from an official at LSU high up that a college football scholarship at LSU, if the guy stays for 4 years, is worth about $600,000 to $700,000, was what I was told, in terms of what they invest in these guys, in food and travel and tuition and books and all that. And I'm just kind of under the opinion that, you know, I guess you can vote when you're 18, you can get into a bar or whatever, but I kind of think that high school and college is to learn under adults, and then you're old enough, mature enough you know, start making real money and real decisions and everything when you get out of college. So I think there's going to be a big problem when you've got, hi, I'm Bill Burrow from Richard Ponda, or I'm Grant Delpit for Ruth Chris Steakhouse.
Right.
I think that stuff really causes and will cause some internal problems on the team. You know, I guess the Saints have to deal with stuff like that. Obviously, you know, companies gravitate to the Drew Breeses and the Michael Thomases of the world. Some guys on that team don't ever get approached to do endorsements, but I just wonder if it's just too young to be making those kind of decisions for those guys.
Joe Burrow had an interesting answer to being be able to be paid for those likeness. What can you summarize for us what he had to say?
Well, the question was, hey, Joe, lots of nine jerseys over there in that sports shop, lots of nine jerseys being sold. And, I was a little surprised with the way he answered that. I don't think that Joe Burrow was spending any time complaining like, you know, Ben Simmons went on a rant when he was at LSU and they're selling my jersey and I'm not getting any of that. I don't think, you know, Joe Burrow comes from a football family, a hard-nosed football family. His dad was a coach who preaches teamwork and being unselfish. And, you know, when Joe Burrow was named the SEC Player of the Week a couple of weeks ago against Vanderbilt, Burrow said that Jamar Chase should have got it and his dad agreed with him. So, they are not a selfish group. But he did kind of talk about how jerseys are sold and how players don't get any of that money,
right. Whatnot.
So, at the same time, once again, Gus, I mean, you know, you go over there and those guys have that $30 million nutrition center where they're, you know, they're eating filet, and I won't say filet mignon, but they've got a big spread of food and the locker rooms and everything, and just the fact that they're rock stars in this town and throughout the state. I mean, I think those guys are getting a lot of stuff.
Speaking with Jacques Doucette from WAFB, it's interesting. I was going to pull up so I could just, you know, reference, hey, you know, Jacques giving us some breaking news. Leonard Fournette decided to leave the team, and I pull up LSUSports.net. He is not on the website. He is gone. No memory of Leonard Fournette on there. Have to go to ESPN to get the stats, and you were right. If you said, Jacques, as you said earlier, don't remember seeing him much. He had one carry, 1 yard. Against Vanderbilt on the season. 13 carries for 36 yards, that one touchdown, couple receptions, five for 19. So not seeing as much action as I guess he wanted. So, yeah, but it's interesting. I guess that parting didn't go according to plan or very, I guess he's just gone. I mean, he's gone from the website. Interesting.
Yeah, you know, at the end of last year, they put him in that Texas A&M game, and he had a 46-yard run in that game, and he caught a couple passes. And, you know, they were playing Rice, which, you know, obviously isn't a huge opponent, but he was able to get some carries and score a touchdown in that game. And it's a tough thing when your older brother is a superstar and one of the greatest players in LSU history and, you know, having huge games in the NFL like he did this past weekend and you're barely getting any touches. I know that's got to be tough at times. I had been impressed with Leonard to this point, the way he carried himself and how he was, you know, I'm my own person. This is my legacy and everything. But I'm not really sure, what exactly happened there, but perhaps frustration. I don't know if he could play anywhere else. So.
I meant Leonard, not Leonard. Sorry about that. Health for LSU, obviously a question that a lot of people are wondering. We'll wrap up with tackling and how Coach O is trying to improve that. How's the health? It looks like one of the defensive top players should be actually maybe seeing some action this week, which I thought we probably wouldn't see him until Florida.
Is that Taysom?
Yep.
We had gone to practice, Gus, and he was running through the drills and hitting dummies and everything. So, you know, he definitely wasn't sidelined, so he's out there moving around and everything. So, yeah, if they can get him a little playing time this week, that would be good. I think Rashard Lawrence, if they could somehow get him a little playing time, that would be good also. It does not look like Glenn Logan is close to returning, but this is a good team they're playing, a team that won 11 games last year and has a quarterback in Jordan Love who threw for over 3,500 yards last year, 32 touchdowns. Coach O says this team runs plays faster than any team they've ever gone up against. So it'll be challenging in that aspect. LSU still is heavily favored. They should win easily. And then next week you're really getting into the meat of the schedule with a Florida team coming to Tiger Stadium, a trip to Mississippi State, and then the Auburn Tigers coming to Death Valley. So you've got two big heavyweight fights before you even get to the Alabama game in early November. So this is when you want your guys healthy and ready to go for sure.
All right, so missed tackles. That's probably something a lot of LSU fans have been seeing on the defensive end that don't care for. How did Coach O during the bye week try to go about correcting that?
Well, Braden Fajoco said they have been hearing 18 missed tackles in their sleep. I mean, apparently, the one thing they haven't done is maybe spray painted on the walls, Jeff. I mean, they are just pounding that into their head that they missed 18 tackles against Vanderbilt. So I think they have spent a lot of time during the bye week and this week leading into it about the angles they're using, how they're shifting their weight onto their feet, the approach, the vision, the eyes, all that stuff they have been really going through. I think Coach O said something about 126 tackle reps or something like that on the teleconference this morning. So they spent a lot of time on it. I know that Dave Aranda's kind of gotten some criticism. Everyone knows how much money he makes and whatnot. I mean, there is a trade-off for the amount of points you're putting up and how quickly you're scoring in terms of, your defense and how much you're allowing there. So, mm-hmm. I mean, even Alabama this past week scores 59 points, but they give up 31 and almost 500 yards of offense. And you're talking about Nick Saban, arguably the greatest defensive mind in college football. So there is that, but they obviously are not happy with the way they tackled, and a guy like Grant Delpit, hasn't really filled up the stat box yet. I think fans are really waiting for him to turn it on, and intercept some passes, sack the quarterback, start making some of those plays he made last year.
Jacques, thanks as always for the time in the afternoon, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, Gus, anytime. Thank you.
Yep, and the breaking news. At Jacques Doucette's the way to follow him over on Twitter. Up in WAFB in Baton Rouge, Leonard Fournette leaving the LSU football team. And very interesting, he is no longer on the LSU website. Gone. Never existed. Jordan, I just want you to know, if you left today, I would still, well, actually, we're on the website. But if you were, I'd leave you on there for
You'd
a bit.
You'd leave me up there?
Yeah, for a bit,
How nice of you.
I mean, I wouldn't do it like immediately. Yeah, check that website. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Chuck Biggio is here with his Houston 45. Cap, Houston Astros fan, and the first thing he asked you, Jordan, was,
"How are you doing on your push-ups?
How are you doing on your push-ups?" He had two last week. We'll see what you can do this week.
I'm not doing any.
Are you going to claim you have a little cold?
I do. Yeah. I'm coughing a little bit. Yeah, I'm not the best of moves.
Well, sometimes you play hurt.
Nah, I'm not MJ.
Every Thursday. Yeah, he only won a championship with the flu. I think a little cough's not going to stop you from trying to get some push-ups.
I can't.
You just need to get three.
I don't feel like doing it.
Three is all you need to do. Coming up next, Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, Pelicans. First official practice was yesterday. Practice two going on now. The Graph at some point after practice is going to call in and give us a report. But for Jake, I want to touch on a few things that definitely stood out from all the videos, from all the reporters that were shooting practice yesterday, including one guard, the point guard, and his new shooting stroke. We'll touch on that next as the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
As a teacher and administrator, Sandy Holloway believes parents deserve to know how well their children are learning. And taxpayers deserve to know how well their money is being spent. That's why Sandy Holloway supports the state's A through F grading and performance system for our schools. Sandy Holloway for Bessie. Leadership, experience, progress. Vote Sandy Holloway, Bessie District 3. Paid for by Louisiana Charter Schools and Action Pack.
Hi, I'm Brett Chesson, a certified athletic trainer and manager of Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that TGMC provides certified athletic trainers to high schools in Terrebonne Parish free of charge? The partnership between TGMC and all seven high schools in Terrebonne Parish allows student-athletes to receive education, prevention, and care measures at school during practices and games. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. TGMC Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food and cantina. Come and enjoy their daily lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Looking for the best party on the bayou? Well, that's El Paso's Grill and Cantina with live music on Friday nights. El Paso Mexican Grill, the freshest food from our family to yours. El Paso Mexican Grill on Highway 1 in Raceland.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
I'm a lawn guy and proud of it. Pro tip, watch the fall leaves. When that first bad boy drops, boom, get feeding and seeding with Scotts. Lay down Scotts Turf Builder today, and come spring, your lawn will be so thick, green, and strong, neighbors like Steve over there will be mad green with envy.
Hey, sweet lawn, Stevie.
Steve.
Don't be a Steve. Be a lawn guy. Pick up a bag of Scotts Turf Builder today. This is a Scotts Yard.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Pels, the podcast, you know it. And at NOLA Jake's, the way to follow him over on Twitter, as always. Jake, what's going on this afternoon, man? Thanks for joining us.
Not too much. Thanks for having me on. Excited that we're really getting ready for basketball season coming up very soon.
Yeah, no doubt. One of the things that I think it'll be fun to kind of see here is the implementation of different elements. And I think what else is unique is preseason actually is going to matter. Practices are going to matter for us to sort of see it, because Alvin Gentry sat down with us, you know, at media day, and he's like, look, my job's to figure out rotations. My job's to figure out who is the developmental, you know, players and all that. So it's a little interesting where we're probably going to be paying attention to this the most than everything else.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, and Alvin Gentry's got a tough job ahead of him, you know, in a good way, I guess. This is kind of a good problem to have, having all of this talent on the team. There's more depth than we've ever seen on this Pelicans franchise right now. But he's got to figure out how it all works together. You know, there's only 5 holdovers from last season's roster, a ton of new additions, including a bunch of young guys that you just don't have any NBA data on. And one of his big challenges is going to be figuring out how best to use Zion Williamson, who's really, even though they're pushing it as Drew Holiday, Zion is still the centerpiece of the team and the guy you're building around for the future. Does he work well as the power forward, his natural position? He talked yesterday that he might be used at small forward. J.J. Redick talked about how you might see him at center in small lineups.
they really don't know the best way to deploy him out there on the basketball court. Mm-hmm. In training camp and preseason and probably the start of the regular season, they're still going to be figuring it out. You're going to see some weird rotations at times. You're going to see a couple of lineups that just do not work, continually get trotted out on the court to really figure out if they don't work or if it's just a small sample size. So we go into this training camp period, this preseason period, with a whole lot of questions, a whole lot of experimenting to be done.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think when it comes to Zion himself, too, is what is his role on this team? Where, how do you use him the best? And to me, I think when you have a guy like a Favors and you have athleticism on the outside and ball handlers, to me, it's almost what Pels fans screamed when AD was here. Get in the block. Here comes the ball. Just do what you do inside of 5 to 10 feet. You know what I'm saying? Just get in there, dominate. If you can flush it, flush it. It's 2 points. We got other people to do the jump shots while you work on that jump shot. I just look at it like that. Let's not ask him to try to develop that 15 to 20 foot, you know, jumper range just yet if the guy is unstoppable down low. So to me, like you're saying, it's almost, I need to see minutes on the court to see what he can and can't do.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing. I think you got a pretty good encapsulation of what you'll see from him this year in that brief summer league cameo that he made in that first game where he ripped the ball out of Kevin Knox's arms and dunked it over him, but his jumper was really bad. He didn't look very comfortable out on the perimeter, and clearly this is a guy who's better down low within the 5 feet of the basket in that restricted area or cutting off the ball or even working as a pick-and-roll roll man. But I think you'll see the Pelicans experiment with him in other ways, too. If he's playing the small forward in, I guess it would be a big lineup, mm-hmm. he's going to be out on the perimeter. He's going to need to have that three-point shot. He's going to need to have the handles to be able to drive from there at the basket to break down a defense because teams are going to sag off him, and that's going to make this team struggle in the half court offensively. But they're going to put him in those situations just to kind of see how he handles it, to see how he adapts. And there's going to be times early on in the year where we're screaming at the TV or in the Smoothie King Center, why is he out on the three-point line? But I think this is all by design. This is all part of the plan and the growing that they're all going to do together this year. But I'm with you. He's far more effective below the basket. Get the ball in his hands. Let him be that explosive dunker, that explosive finisher that we saw in college.
Exactly. Use the pick and rolls. We spoke with so many players, whether it was Redick or just any of the guards. It's pick and roll heaven and really what they can accomplish here. So I'm kind of interested to see what kind of offense is going to be if they have to go to the half court set. We obviously have heard repeatedly their goal is to pick off a rebound or a missed shot from the opponent and go off and running and just do what comes naturally. That said, the other piece of video that I thought was heavily commented on yesterday was Lonzo Ball shooting from the wing, shooting from the corner, the three-point shot. We kind of got hints from other players when we interviewed them on Monday. They were saying, hey, if number two starts knocking down the three, watch out. The first thing that pops up is gone is that awkward shooting motion that Lonzo's had. It looks like he's worked, and it looks like a normal jump shot where the wrist, you know, flips and comes down after a shot. It clearly looks like he's been working on just the shot itself.
Yeah, it's very different from what it was like last year. Look, this is a guy who has been able to shoot well. who has been able to shoot well in the past. He was a great three-point shooter in college. He was great from the field in college. When he came to the NBA, the things haven't really worked for him. And I think part of it is just a mental aspect of it, a confidence aspect of it, that this is a guy who's shot, you know, below 42% from the field in his 2 years here. He's sub 50% from the free throw line. It's going to get in your head a little bit. So maybe some new mechanics can kind of help him reinvent that. And we've seen guys with funky shots in the NBA be very successful. Sean Marion immediately comes to mind. His thing was not aesthetically pretty whatsoever, but it went in, and that's the important thing. But I think with Lonzo Ball, the mechanics actually matter here more than maybe some other players. If you watched him before with the Lakers the past 2 years, you know, he shoots with his right hand, his elbow flares out a little too hard, kind of tilting his arm a little bit, but then he carries the ball from that right side over to his left, and it kind of goes cross-body, mm-hmm. and when he goes up for a shot, his forearm blocks his field of vision to the basket. They always tell you as a shooter, keep your eyes on the basket. That's where the ball's got to go. That's where you've got to look. But when his arm crosses over for that jump shot, he loses sight of it. When you saw that form yesterday, the biggest thing to me is That arm is not coming across to the left side of his body. He's able to see the basket just a whole lot better than he was before.
Right.
I think that's going to make him more successful. And this is a guy who is going to be open for three a lot in this offense when they do play in the half court, which is still going to be the majority of their time. It's not that they want to play. You know, teams sag off him because they don't believe in his jump shot. Hit a couple of those early on in and stretch defense to change his future opponent's game plan. I think that's what the Pelicans are looking to see from him.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pels. Final question for you. We're going to have a bunch of questions, obviously, through preseason and things to look for. I'm just going to throw this one out for Monday's game against the Hawks. Jrue Holiday, who's the scorer on this team? Who's the guy that's going to be putting up the most shots, maybe leading the team in points? Is it him or Brandon Ingram?
So it's going to be Holiday first and foremost. They've talked about how it's his team. We've seen him be that go-to scorer in the playoffs against the Portland Trailblazers before. You know, he had a 30-plus point game in that one. He had a 40-plus point game in that one. I think this is a guy who really can't take over. You know, I don't think that on a consistent basis. I think it remains to be seen. They mentioned that at media day that there was some concern that he would be able to do it since he's never been asked to do that before. But Brandon Ingram's the other guy I think that could lead this team in scoring potentially. You know, he was great for the Lakers last year when LeBron James went down, averaged over like 25 in like 9 during that stretch, and really kind of became the go-to guy. His game is still a little bit limited. He doesn't stretch the court. He doesn't shoot from three very often. But if he can develop it, it's a guy who clearly has a scoring knack. And at times you need that. And you'll see him run with the second unit, I'm sure, too, and kind of lead that unit a little bit more. He's a pretty good passer. He can be a bit of a playmaker. So he's got kind of all the room to grow and really have a breakout year for the Pelicans this season.
At Locked On Pels, that's the podcast, at Nola Jakes, the way to follow him over on Twitter. Jake Madison, the first of many already. It's here, man. We're legitimately, the season is now underway. We have practice to talk about, and we're going to be excited about preseason and practice and getting off. Tempered enthusiasm, I think, is going to be key for all of us, including fans, because there's so much excitement level. We have to understand this is an entirely new roster. They have to have time to mesh and grow, and it's young. But that said, I think that open practice Saturday is going to feature a lot of Pels fans over at the Smoothie King Center.
Look, I'm very excited for that. That's going to kind of be our first taste of all of these guys in Pelicans uniform. By the way, I will be providing commentary for the live stream of that,
yep,
where through all the Pelicans social media, so if you're not able to attend in person, you'll be able to hear me kind of giving you updates on everything that's going on, breaking down what we're seeing from guys and what to expect for this year. And I think it's going to be a very good turnout. It's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday for that.
Yeah, man, super excited about the future with you over at the Pelicans. And, yeah, you know, some other news we can announce here shortly. But always a pleasure, my friend, to have you on our show.
Of course. Thanks for having me on today, Gus.
Yeah, for sure. Jake Madison, Locked On Pels. At Nola Jake's the way to follow over on Twitter. Quick break. We come back. Chuck, are we going to get him to do the push-ups or what? What are we doing?
He doesn't have a choice.
No. When someone that looks like that says you don't have a choice, you better go do the push-ups. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. No, you can. You just got to get three during the break.
Just three.
Yeah, just three. It's one more than last week, then you can have a sense of accomplishment. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. We'll be back with our health fitness segment every Wednesday here at this time on the Sports Hangover, your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
This is Senator Ed Price, and I'm proud of the results we've accomplished in Baton Rouge. The first teacher pay raise in 10 years, increased funding for K-12 and early childhood education, TOPS fully funded. I helped pass the largest infrastructure investment in Louisiana in the past 30 years to improve our roads and bridges without raising taxes. This is Senator Ed Price, number 55 on the ballot, and I paid for this ad to ask for your vote on October 12th so we can continue the progress for Senate District 2.
Progressive presents Get Pumped, inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, get your head in the game. This ain't no exhibition match. This is for real. You've got a house to insure, and there are no excuses because Progressive's Home Quote Explorer makes it easier than ever to get the coverage you need. Here's some music to get you pumped. Dum chugga chugga chugga, meow meow meow. Dum chugga chugga chugga, feel that confidence. Dum chugga chugga chugga. Did I say stop saving money? No. Dum chugga chugga chugga, meow meow meow.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
Join POV Magazine and The Settlement at Live Oak in Thibodaux on Friday, October 18th at 6 p.m. for the first ever POV pop-up Thibodaux tailgate. Food and shopping with live music sponsored by Stellar Media and a game zone sponsored by ESPN Radio. Visit POVpopup.com for more information.
Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday and everyone's a fan. Even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
Hey, this is Jordy Collada and T-Bob Hebert. Make sure and tune in every weekday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. to Off the Bench.
Live and local, whether it's Saints, Pelicans, Tigers, we got it all. On 100.3 ESPN.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
I like it. Hey, yes. Mock push-ups is what he was doing there. It was just pushing on the desk here. So Jordan wussed out of doing the push-ups. See, here's the thing.
I just don't want to disappoint.
If we're going to have a health and fitness segment, we probably want to follow.
You have to partake.
Yeah.
Well, this weekend was
kind of... You stole my pre-workout that he brought to you, or to me. Have you used it?
Yes, multiple times.
Really?
Multiple times.
It's not to go out. You don't take it to go out.
No, I know.
Okay. And then he gave you a shirt. Have you been wearing it?
Yes, I wore it during workout.
So basically, he's been a very thoughtful individual bringing you gifts, and all he did was ask you to do 3 push-ups, and you said no. Right?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to know what kind of person you are so far. That's fine. You accept and receive? You don't really want to earn it, do you?
I mean, this weekend was a little rough.
Oh, this weekend. It's been, Wednesday.
It's been 3 days, buddy.
It's Wednesday. It's funny. I say that because one of the things I was texting you last night about what we were going to talk about today, I feel better. It's cold and flu season right now, right? My kid's battling something. I could kind of feel I kind of had it. I fought it off the immune system. One way to get a healthy immune system, to me, my wife always says all the time, when I hear the sniffle, I got a cough, stay home, then go to the gym. I'm like, I feel better when I go to the gym and sweat it out. Is that a theory of mine, or is that actually true? If I go and sweat and get a workout in, I feel better.
Yeah, well, I'm not a doctor, so I can't say the reason why, but I'm the same way.
Do you feel that?
Yeah, just get the blood moving. Your body feels so much better. Like you said, sweat it out, you know?
I always feel that way. Anyway, okay, so last week we kind of talked a little bit about how we're going to start. We're using him as the guinea pig. If you're one of these people that you wanted to get going and working out, getting your meal plan going, setting your splits, as you say, what day to week do I work out, what do you want to focus on today?
Well, like you said, we started with our training split last week, and the first day, which would be Monday, obviously would be back. So I figured we'd talk a little bit about a couple of different back exercises and which different parts of the back set it works. upper back, that's your primary part. So bent over rows, any type of rows, bent over dumbbells, barbells, chest supported rows. You see a lot of machines in the gym that have a pad that supports your chest, and you just do a row pulling your arm straight back. A T-bar row, which is you stand over a barbell that's anchored down in one side, put the plates on another side, and you pick the barbell up, do that row that way. And then a wide grip seated row. Those all work your upper middle back.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the next part, lower back, that's a part that most people have issues
with. They bypass, too, a lot of times.
Yeah, bypass a lot. And that could be some of the reason that they have issues later on in life. Deadlifts, typically deadlifts from the floor, if you're not doing them correctly, can cause you to have issues when you get older. So there's a form of deadlift that you can do called a rack deadlift, where you're doing it from about shin level, which eliminates any of that extra pressure on the spine.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can do some hyperextensions, which is a lot less. You're using your body weight.
Right. And that's it almost looks like I wouldn't say sit-up. It's almost a reverse sit-up. You're going forward, using your momentum and gravity, and then you're just pulling yourself back up. You kind of start at almost a bent-over position.
Right.
And you go forward, and you come in. There's always one of those little chairs or machine. Yeah, exactly. Right. You kind of stand on there. You, your legs kind of on the pads to hold you from falling forward. And sometimes you see people holding a weight.
Yeah, you can, once you get better right. with it, you can start using weights or, yeah. or the new bands.
You do a 45, you know. Don't you? Yeah. See, I'm just trying just to get back up. I got into a 10-pound weight. But it does. You feel on your lower back. And quite honestly, the stronger you get on your back,
right.
the lower, it's going to help everything else.
Everything,
too.
Yeah. Everything. And, you know, a lot of lower back issues, not to go too much into that, mm-hmm. has to do with tight hamstrings. You know, so stretching is very important, too. But the last thing that I want to touch on with lower back is you can do a standing banded extension, lower back extension.
I see a lot of band usage now as well.
It's kind of a fad now, but it's good. It can definitely help your workout, you know, more intensity.
Jordan, you can do bands. And say, you know,
I have some in the truck. We can start
there. There we go. It's actually not because you're using your own body weight for resistance.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And then the higher that you press the band, the more resistance you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I actually have one for the door where you put it like in the door mm-hmm. frame, and then you just kind of pull it. Wow. And then I have a couple of those.
That's good.
All right.
Good.
I use them.
Use them.
I like the look thing because I use them. Can't tell you the last time I did. But no, here. You mentioned just different back type of exercise that you have as well. From lat pulls
right.
to you said that the different type of rows that you can have as well. Do you find more success comes or a lot easier to isolate with a dumbbell or machines that are kind of in place and you're just pulling the rows?
Well, it depends on each individual person. Some people have more of a mind-to-muscle connection with their back, so pretty much anything they do, they're mm-hmm. going to feel it there and their back will grow. People who have a little more difficult time making that back grow, and let's just say, when you're flexing your muscles, all of the muscles that's in the front, you can see, so it's easier to flex them. Your back, you can't see, so a lot of people have a hard time flexing that muscle. So you really have to focus on that mind-to-muscle connection. But yeah, it just depends on the person. Everybody's different.
Right.
You know. But the last part, you know, we talked about upper and lower. The lats was the last thing I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Pull-ups, pull-downs. You can use a wide grip, a close grip, and then pullovers. A lot of people forget pullovers were predominantly known to work your chest, but if you do it the right way, you can right. also work a lot of lats with
it. It's incredible that chin-ups and pull-ups and all those. It's the oldest thing that you've seen, right? I mean, military uses it to work out. I know when I was in ROTC over at Brother Martin, it was like, you know, that was part of your physical fitness test. Can you get five? You know, I'm horrible at that.
Too.
But, dude, Chuck, it shows strength. I
Absolutely.
Mean, and if you can do that, and actually if you just do it, and there's actually machines where we go, it's an assisted chin-up and pull-up that you can do that.
Exactly.
Wide grip. Do it in
close grip, yeah.
Exactly, and it actually does help you. And
big time.
It's nuts to think about that. I've seen a couple WWE wrestlers when we have Monday Night Raw or something at our gym.
Oh, yeah?
The rows and the chin-ups.
That's what they do.
They will do that. And again, these are people that are picking up 250, 225 weighted men
right.
and tossing them. So if it works, but it's about strength
Absolutely.
And building that in that
Absolutely.
Core in there. So, but yeah, those rows, man. You know, when you see guys that are professionally, you know, doing it over
right.
at wrestlers, it's clearly just
it works.
It works.
That's it.
Exactly. More anything else? Hey, give us a quick food group, man, or something that we can touch on. Maybe I guess we can get into the peanut butter. I mean, my kid right now.
Yeah.
We were talking about it before we went on air. We keep talking about, hey, peanut butter is such an amazing food that it can put on anything, crackers, bread, the works, and even in little protein balls that you develop.
Yeah. Well, my wife started with this. It's a mixture of peanut butter, oatmeal, honey, and chocolate chips. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, there
chocolate
you go.
Chips.
Okay.
And whey protein powder. And she'll just make little balls,
mm-hmm.
put them in the refrigerator to get them, you know, a little harder, and they just quick grab, go. Good little protein bites.
And you can get that anywhere. You can get a bag of oats, which is what that essentially
is. Oh, yeah, at the grocery store. That's what, you know.
It's crazy. Oats is such a good,
Huge.
Good grain as well.
Right, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
It helps lower cholesterol. You know, it's a good carbohydrate. So, you can't go wrong with oatmeal.
There you go. And that's why I've always tried to explain to Jordan here as well. You can eat healthy and you do that. You don't have to spend a ton of money. It's a jar of peanut butter, a thing of oats, which is not very expensive. Get a thing of honey that you squirt on there and a bag of chocolate chips.
That's it.
And you
that's
made yourself it. A nice little treat. And it is. It's going to kind of give you that because that's the other thing I want to touch on before we wrap up here, snacking
right.
Throughout the day. Because you mentioned eating 4 or 5 different times, maybe 10 if you're competing, all this other stuff. Finding the time to do that, what kind of snacks do you want? We're not talking about bags of chips and such, right? I got
right.
an apple in front of me.
Right, right.
Is fruit a good snack?
Fruit's good. If you're going to have a snack, I would like to get a little bit of protein in. So, you know, yogurt with a little granola would be something good. A protein shake with some almond milk, maybe, you know, peanut butter on some rice cakes or something.
Yep.
We already talked about the protein balls. You know, even if you make like a little chicken wrap, you know, grilled chicken in a wrap real quick, you can take that with you and just snack on that anywhere. A smoothie or even some trail mix.
Yeah, I found chicken tenders is a great thing that I eat. They're real inexpensive. You can get a tray of them. Cook them quick. Yeah, cook them quick, and you just put one or two in those wraps, and now you have three lunches done.
Exactly.
And I'm just saying that these are things that I do over the weekend
right.
that make it easier for my wife that does. She does a lot of these workouts and everything like Tabata and all this other stuff. But it is. I mean, it's really easy to make.
It
you
is.
Get a thing of tortillas. That's, again, $2.
Right.
Your
right.
tenders are $4. It's not expensive to eat right,
right
and put the right things in you.
Exactly. Exactly. It can get expensive, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, it can. It depends what you're trying to do.
Right.
All right, man. We'll see you again next Wednesday. As always, appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having me, man.
Can
appreciate
we get
it.
Him to do three next week, please?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe he'll be
Are you
going to
do
better.
It next week?
Maybe. Maybe.
You're unbelievable.
No excuses.
Maybe.
Accept the challenge.
I accept.
There it
maybe.
Is.
Maybe. That's it.
No. See? Hour one is in the books. It's been brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Some more from Sean Payton when we come back in hour two on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.